It's the Last Call Podcast with Chris Michaels, and there is more nonsense going on, more censorship allegations coming out, and more collusion with the Democrats, including none other than Chairman Gary Gensler of the Securities and Exchange Commission. So this is from Zero Hedge, and if you haven't seen it, through a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit, he had scrubbed evidence of a meeting with former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton from his calendar, along with details of a meeting with none other than George Soros. He also concealed a September 21st meeting with none other than Nancy Pelosi and Bill Clinton, White House official turned DC consultant, Minion Moore. How did this happen? Essentially what happened is that Mr. Gensler was keeping two calendars, one that was for the public and another one with all of the juicy stuff on it. Doesn't this kind of behavior sound familiar? We've got one email address for the State Department, like Ms. Clinton, and then we've got another email address that goes to a server above a toilet bowl. They all do this. They all keep two sets of calendars. They all keep official and unofficial emails and Slack channels. They were even supposed to be using, some gaming console chat to orchestrate events against Donald Trump throughout his presidency. I mean, these people know no bounds. Gensler, former Goldman Sachs exec. Gee, I wonder what he could be up to. Obama admin official, Clinton's 2016 CFO for her campaign, and FTX associate. Wow. And he had two calendars, like I said. 13 days after meeting with Hillary Clinton, the public calendar does list a meeting with Soros, but the agenda was hidden. In other words, they don't want you to know what was going on and what was discussed. Why wouldn't they want you to know about that? What are they planning for the next year? They even talk about how Miss Pelosi was in there. Even George Soros is calling out progressive darling BlackRock for craven blundering is striking, even if it did carry out the requisite tribal praise for BlackRock's truly damaging environmental, social, and governance campaign to impose climate agenda on the U.S., an agenda also much to China's delight, said Chris Horner, a lawyer for Energy Policy Advocates. So what do we get from all of this? If we've got these people going in to see Gensler, then they are planning something, and they are trying to institute more changes here in the United States that would bring about more Green New Deal nonsense, if they're still using that phrase, whatever they want to use now. But the problem with this is that many Americans don't want it because it's not feasible. It's all part of the next phase of dictatorship that they're trying to bring about across the world. What do I mean by that? I brought it up many times. It is the limitation of freedom. They don't want you to have freedom of movement. They don't want you to be able to travel further than what you're supposed to. If you are going to travel, you must have a proper social credit score. You must be a good egg and not criticize the government or people like Dr. Fauci. If you want to purchase things, then you better have your digital currencies up to date. Otherwise, you will not be able to purchase any food beyond 5 miles of your registered address. So that's the kind of future that they want. I mean, this is dictatorship nonsense that we're looking at here. And Mr. Gensler is more than likely doing some or setting up the infrastructure for this kind of outlook. This comes from, where does this come from? It's on Twitter. It's actually a screenshot. Frank Shishati. And he's got a whole bunch of stupid flags after his name. But he says, unbelievable. Jeffrey Epstein, Bill Gates funded MIT's Media Lab developing central banking digital currencies project Hamilton, while SEC Chair Gensler was the lab's senior advisor and taught economics with Glenn Ellison, the father of SBF's girlfriend and co-CEO of Alameda Research, Caroline Ellison. So they're all connected. They're all connected to FTX. They're all doing things on behalf of the Democrats. They're all having backdoor or back room, not back door. Back, yeah, right. Still going on with those porn searches from last night's podcast. Back room meetings to institute this massive, massive global chain to limit you and your freedoms. They're all in on it. And the other funny part, you've got SBF from FTX, the blockchain, not the blockchain, the cryptocurrency nonsense. He's arrested. And before that, about 2 weeks before that, you saw Miss Ellison, Caroline, in New York City. So what was she doing? She was probably talking to attorneys or prosecutors in the Southern District of New York, which is the same district that pressured the government of the Bahamas to actually arrest him. So what did she squeal about? Why isn't she in the news as much as he is? Because she's probably the real brains behind the outfit. And by brains, I don't mean that there's much there if you ever listen to her speak. I mean, she looks like she should have a block of cheese next to her, and just not a very, it doesn't appear, I should say, to be a very bright individual. And also what's interesting, see, all this stuff kind of goes together, is that in New York City, if you were paying attention to the news recently, there was a huge fire in New York City because of some warehouse. Now, the official story that came out was this is a warehouse that stores evidence that's too large to keep at the precincts. So it's kind of like a storage facility there. And the original story had said that, well, an electric scooter had a faulty battery and the whole thing blew up and caught fire to everything. But then today, from Jennifer Millman, new NYPD warehouse for DNA, troves of criminal evidence destroyed in Brooklyn. Fire officials say most of the content would have been in the warehouse, and it could take days to get all the hotspots under control. So what DNA is in that warehouse that somebody wanted destroyed? Could it have something to do with Biden? I mean, could it be the laptop from hell might have been in there? Could that be the location of it all? Or was it something involving I don't know, countless people? Could it be involving Ghislaine Maxwell or Jeffrey Epstein? Could there be some DNA evidence in there? Because now on the heels of that, there's newly unsealed evidence of abuse with Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. This comes from TechnoFog. New details were released, and it comes from a female associate of Jeffrey Epstein who described Epstein as a wealthy philanthropist, at least that's what she was told, and really cares about people and really wants to help them. Well, it turns out that none of that was true. She was told she was going on a girls' week at Jeffrey Epstein's island, and what happened? As soon as they got on the plane, Jeffrey Epstein started to have sex with all the girls right in front of each other. They had no idea what was going on, and this only continued. They tried to say that Jeffrey Epstein loves women and loves getting massages, and this was a nice way to make extra cash. Basically, he created a brothel on his island because it turns out that this woman was describing, well, wealthy individuals would pay Jeffrey Epstein for time with them, and then whatever happened after their time together was on their own accord, and most of it involved rape, according to this account. So in other words, Bill Clinton shows up to Jeffrey Epstein's island, says, oh, I like that girl. I'll pay $10,000 for 2 hours. So the dinner lasts 2 hours, and then what happens after the 2 hours? Completely up to the girl and Bill Clinton. Now, this island, as this person describes, is filled with beautiful young people, and there were always girls there to visit Jeffrey and Ghislaine. And she describes it exactly like I described it, as a brothel. And there were teenagers there, and she said they looked young, well under 18, and that they abused them on the island, forced them to have sex with Jeffrey Epstein. They all feared Ghislaine Maxwell because they were told she is a very dangerous character and has connections, and was told to do everything she told me to do. So, of course, Ghislaine Maxwell is going to have those kinds of connections. Her father was in the Mossad. So it doesn't take that much of a stretch to believe that Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein were also contractors, at the very least, for the Mossad. Because this is the kind of blackmail material that intelligence agencies crave. So she goes on to describe that Jeffrey Epstein always had girls. One was in, one was out. Ghislaine was Jeffrey's right-hand man, or woman, I should say. Whatever Jeffrey wanted, Ghislaine did it. And it was up to Ghislaine to enforce all of the policies that Jeffrey came up with. So it continues on and on and on. But what's also disturbing is that throughout all of this, they describe a 15-year-old's account at the island. And it's not only the fact that the girl is 15 years old there with a bunch of degenerate old men, old elite men. God knows what kind of occultism was going on there. But as soon as this 15-year-old got onto the island, Ghislaine Maxwell took her wallet, cell phone, and passport. These girls were kidnapped to stay at this island. Now, the question that we're all looking for answers to is, who was on Jeffrey and Ghislaine's client list? Because I promise you, they all knew what was going on. They all knew that these girls were under 18 years old. They all knew that they were engaging in prostitution and rape. That's all there is to this. How come these people aren't being brought forward and tried? Because that's exactly what went on. There's no other way to look at this. This is dangerous. And hopefully, we get something that moves this case forward. Because 2023 and 24, it's going to be a monumental year. Oh, apparently Trump is going to be making some massive announcement tomorrow or today by the time many of you listen to this. So who knows what that's going to be about. But there is, of course, the numerology that goes along with it, with the whole December 15th deal. And December 15th, I forgot. I think it was when the Constitution was ratified, if I'm not mistaken. Here we go. Bill of Rights Day, not the Constitution. The Bill of Rights recognizes the importance of the first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution passed by Congress. No, that's not it. That's not it. What is going on here? Oh, I thought I had it. Oh, well. I'll maybe find it by the time this is over with. I was right. 1791, the United States Bill of Rights becomes law when ratified by the Virginia General Assembly. So on that anniversary, it happened in 1791. So if we do some math here, 2022 minus 1791, we get 231, 231. So I'm sure there's some numerologically significant event on why Trump is doing it on that day beyond the anniversary of the Bill of Rights becoming law. He always does things like that. He always tries to time his announcements to some kind of astrological significant event. So you got to do the math, and I don't feel like doing it. And I'm finally, this comes from America First Legal, and they are now doing Freedom of Information Acts. They came out with a whole big article, and once again, I am just not in the mood to go through that whole article, so I'm going to breeze through their tweets, which is a nice summary of said article. Breaking, following the Twitter files, AFL has obtained new documents uncovering secret Twitter portals that the U.S. government officials were using to censor dissent concerning COVID-19 and violations of the First Amendment. So isn't that something? Twitter and other social media platforms had special portals only for government officials, and I would assume individuals from large corporations like Pfizer and Moderna and God knows what else. In August of 21, the head of Google's News Lab for Asia Pacific region emailed the CDC vaccine confidence strategist to invite her to the APAC's Trusted Media Summit, APAC being Asia Pacific region, for Google News. The vaccine confidence strategist then emailed the event planner, and they thought, oh, this is the coolest misinformation fighting speakeasy I'm ever going to be invited to. Oh, God. Why are they all like this? Why can't any of them have a modicum of maturity? Why do they all have to be like, oh, look at me, and I'm going to show you what my day is like at my office. First, I get coffee, and then I go to the gym, and then we have a meeting about having another meeting later on, and then we strategize in the meeting. Then we stop for lunch, and we go for a walk in the gym again. We go to the rooftop, hang out there, meet up with some friends, have another meeting about having a meeting tomorrow, and then we all went to the bar and played cornhole on the roof again. I mean, that's what these people sound like. They're a bunch of losers. So they continue. The same CDC employee was then invited to the summit to give a keynote address with the CDC and how it was working with the WHO. So they called it an infodemic and used social inoculation to mitigate it. Ugh. All of these buzzwords. May 10th, 21. A Twitter employee recommended to a CDC official to go join and enroll in the Twitter partner support portal. So that's where a lot of this comes from. So we need to make sure that Elon Musk starts dishing on who was in that portal, what kind of requests were made, who were they made from, who were they made to, and whether or not those requests were actually enacted upon. May 11th of 21, the CDC official enrolled her personal Twitter account into the portal, which allowed a special expedited reporting flow to Twitter's help center. So that's another issue. If you're an employee of a federal agency, or any agency for that matter, don't you think you should be using your official agency's email handle? Not your personal email address, not your personal Twitter account. Once again, we've got the calendar, the official calendar, and then we got the real calendar. We've got the official email address, and then we got the real email address. Facebook bragged on a slide at the event. We remove claims about the existence or severity of COVID-19, including claims that COVID-19 is no more dangerous than the common flu or cold. My, my. Gee, I wonder what happened. Facebook uses incredibly vague and nebulous standards to judge what is misinformation, such as claims about the availability or existence of vaccines, claims about the safety or adverse events of vaccines, claims about the efficacy of the vaccines, claims about how COVID vaccines were developed or how they were developed or what ingredients they used. By the way, nobody knows these answers. Nobody, because they're not sharing with you how these vaccines are developed, what's in these vaccines. I mean, you can find the documents. They're all blacked out. They even blacked out what the vials are made out of. So what special materials do these vials have to be made out of? That's another stunning question. And finally, claims involving conspiracy theories about a COVID-19 vaccine or vaccination program. I mean, all of that stuff turned out to be true. The adverse events, the efficacy of the vaccines, the ingredients in the vaccines. And Facebook was involved in getting rid of anybody that dared question the legitimacy of any of it. In its widely debunked vaccine hoaxes section, Facebook claims that natural immunity is safer than vaccine-acquired immunity, despite knowledge that the vaccines did not prevent transmission, and what we know now, more vaccinated people are dying than unvaccinated. That's, once again, They claimed it that it was a debunked hoax. And other hoaxes are vaccines cause autism, vaccines cause sudden infant death syndrome. Oh, well, now we've got sudden adult death syndrome. Makes you wonder what the real culprit is behind sudden infant death syndrome. Not really. Vaccines cause the disease against which they are meant to protect or cause the person to be more likely to get the disease. Well, yes. How many times have you heard somebody, oh, I got the flu shot. Oh, I got the booster. Oh, I got another booster. And within a week, they get what they were supposed to be vaccinated against. And then all of these brain dead morons, they come out and they say, well, a vaccine isn't meant to stop the disease, stop the issue. It's only meant to mitigate the symptoms and lessen the severity. No, you idiot. They changed the definition of a vaccine during COVID. Dr. Fauci changed that definition so that he could get away with crap like this, so that Pfizer and Moderna and AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson, they can all do this stuff without any accountability. They changed the definition. They moved the goalposts. You can't do that in an altruistic, legitimate world. And so they rattle off a couple of other things, such as the effectiveness of vitamin C. Yes, that's a hoax. Vitamin C doesn't work, according to Facebook. I mean, it's so stupid, these idiots. And finally, Facebook boasted of removing 16 million posts on Facebook and Instagram, including over 2 million between February and May of 2021. That's how efficient these companies are, either through algorithm or actual review by a staff. And the big question that we all need answers to is, we know who the stooges are in these companies. We know where to look, but who from the government was making these requests? Who from private industry like Pfizer or Moderna or whoever else through the government was making the requests to these social media platforms? In other words, Albert Bourla, CEO of Pfizer, calls up Dr. Fauci. Dr. Fauci then talks to Francis Collins and whoever else, and the scarf queen, Dr. Birx, and then they go through their portals through an unofficial personal email address and register what they want censored. So it wasn't Dr. Fauci that wanted it censored necessarily, although I think he would want anything censored. It was Albert Bourla in our example that wanted something censored. This is the very definition of fascism, and I'm tired of saying that phrase. This is fascism. All of you Antifa morons, many of you know some of those jerks, need to tell them to wake up. You're not some do-gooder. You're not some bulwark against fascism. You are the fascists. You support this kind of behavior across social media, the government, and industry when you've got this mailed fist of oppression that kills people, more than likely, because we have to use that moniker, and harms them physically, mentally, emotionally. It tears up families and destroys businesses. This kind of behavior and these individuals are to be held accountable. They need to be stopped. And they're not going to stop until we stand up to them. That's where the next step has to be. We need to draw the line. Enough is enough. And I even question whether or not voting is going to do it. It may take the generation of special interest groups that speak on behalf of the average citizen, because we know the politicians and the agencies don't speak for us. It's time that we spoke up for ourselves. All that we're lacking is a leader. And that's going to be it for me. This is the Last Call Podcast with Chris Michaels. My voice is shot. I didn't know if I could make it through. And as always, you can like me, find me, share me. It's almost the end of the week, so you know what that means. It means that there is one more podcast in store of broadcasting brilliance. And remember to stay lovable, stay fuzzy, because you're all brilliant individuals that shine light of intelligence across the fruited plain.